Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmaker program. And we have a very, very interesting guest today who cannot identify himself. And we're going to find out why he can't on today's program. Stay tuned.
Next on AM 1480 WLEA, Kevin Doran and the Newsmaker Show.
I'm going to be talking to Mr. Mystery over in Cohocton, a mystery man. We'll call him Mr. Mystery. He is what we now refer to, a term that didn't exist until a few years ago, a wind farmer, meaning he leased his land off. I don't know how the deal works as far as whether he leased the land or just that part of it where this turbine is, this giant turbine, windmill. But he can't tell you who he is. Now, Mystery Man, why can't you identify yourself? Because that in itself is a story.
Yeah. Well, I have been told and by people and all that in the contract there was a clause that you could not talk against the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
But I am checking with the New York State Attorney General's office to make sure about that before I put my name out, because
all
I
right.
don't want any lawsuits.
Because they can sue you. Now, this is it. I find this interesting. We found this out when we were talking to people in other parts of the state when this windmill controversy first began, and we found out, and I got to be honest with you, I was shocked, that if you lease the land off to one of these windmill gurus or they're not gurus, they're companies, and you don't like it, you can't say anything. Now, let me ask you a question. This is for listeners, Mr. Mystery Man. Have you ever signed a contract buying something and they said, if you don't like this product, you can never open your mouth or we'll sue you? Say, a car?
No.
A washing machine? That never happens.
No, it would.
And the reason it happens, I mean, it's not hard to figure out, people don't like them. And if the news got out, they'd be in real trouble. That's my take. What's your take?
Well, I think you're probably right with that because, you know, when we first started this and all, we were all excited because we had been told that there'd be no noise and everything was going to be fancy with it, and we were just going to be in love with these windmills.
Yeah.
And so in the contract, they said that we would have to help, which was kind of, I never paid that much attention or read it that deep. It said that you would have to help them develop the our campaign for the windmills and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't get that involved in campaigning for the windmills.
Frankly, I got to tell you, I think if that were challenged, of course, it's going to cost someone a lot of money. If that were challenged, they would cut the courts would throw that out because that's an infringement on freedom of speech. So
that's why I'm going to talk to New York State Attorney General.
Yeah, and you can talk to us now. You can't identify yourself or this windmill company. These wonderful people could sue you, right?
I think they might, but I don't want
I don't want to take a chance
because there's no sense in losing our farming we've had for 200 years.
All right. Now, you don't sound 200 years old. Listen.
My wife, it's actually her.
Don't give yourself away. It's a family farm, right?
Yeah.
Tell us how you managed to get involved in windmills.
Well, they approached us and they were going to put up small windmills. And
how long ago did they approach you?
This was, I think, in 2002, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so they came up and wanted to know about windmills, and we said, well, we would be interested in looking at them. And they were going to put four small ones up on the farm. And we thought, well, that's not going to be a bad deal. They wouldn't make a lot of noise. And, they were going to be, you know, we had 300 acres, so we could set it back far enough from the home that it wouldn't bother us. But then after they got through with that, they came back and said, well, we're going to put up a 1.5 megawatt. And we thought, well, what's this going to be like? Well, it's going to be a taller one, but they got them up in Center, and they got them up in Tug Hill. Mm-hmm. And people love them.
Yeah, they're just crazy about them, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we went up to Tug, or to Center first, and we drove around and pulled up under the windmills, and the only thing you'd hear was a slight swoosh. That was about all you'd ever hear from them.
Uh-huh.
We rode to a couple of the neighbors, and we knocked on doors up there, and asked them about their windmills, and they had no problem.
Of course, they couldn't have told you if they did.
Well, of course, they were running. There was no noise.
Yeah.
There was no noise. Yeah. I think they could tell you after they're all put up.
Yeah, well, you'll find out.
You'll find out.
Oh, now, I think you can't talk even after they're up. I mean, I've done interviews on this with other parts of the state, and that's what they tell me.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, all right. Well, anyway, You got four of them. That's quite a bit of money, isn't it?
No, I only have one.
You got one. All right. Yeah. Still quite a bit of money.
Small ones they're going to put up.
How many are they? How much do they pay you for that windmill, Mr.
Not enough. They could pay me $200,000 a year, and that would never be enough.
Yeah, but how much do they pay you?
They pay about $7,500. Supposedly, they're going to give us that much.
A year?
Our 2.5% of the gross revenue, which they figure would be about $7,500 to $10,000 a year.
Yeah. Nice.
Which is not a lot of money. I never went into this to make money.
The
reason my wife and I signed up for this is, you know, we thought, well, if we could do something for the economy, for Cohocton, we could do something for the energy and save some kind of energy and do a little bit of green for the country, let's do it because it's not going to interfere with us. We can give a steady flow of income into the Cohocton after we both died, and they'll still be getting their revenue from the taxes and all that. So,
Mystery Man, talk up just a little bit.
Okay, thought that would be a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
So we went into it hoping that, you know, we were doing the right thing. And then they changed them from 1.5 to 2.5 megawatts. You know, they keep changing everything.
Yeah.
So then we thought, well, maybe, you know, we better go back up. So we went up to Tug Hill to listen to theirs. And
where is Tug Hill, by the way?
That's up near Lowellville, up
North Country.
To the west of Lake Ontario.
All right, okay.
They get a lot of snow up there. A lot of snowmobile trails. So we went up there and we looked at those and we stood under them and you could hear a slight swoosh as they went around. And we kept asking First Wind, what is going on, you know? Are we going to have any noise? No, and all the literature on the website and all the information we got, 900 feet, you would not hear one sound. Everything would be fine. If you hear anything, it may be the hum of a refrigerator, but you're not going to hear much at all from them. So we said, well, how can we go wrong with them? So we thought, well, we'll make the plunge. We'll go into it. We can't find anything that is against it. We're going to believe what they're telling us about the windmill. So we went in there believing that they were telling us the truth.
All right, how long has this windmill been on your property? How far away is it from where you live, Mystery Man?
Well, the one behind, there's two of them behind me. One behind my house is about 2,500 feet. The one on my neighbor's side is probably about 1,800 feet from my house. Mm-hmm. And the one on my neighbor's side is the one that makes the most noise. And the only way I described it to First Wind when I first started complaining back in November about it is it's no more than a jet plane running on a runway trying to take off. It's that constant, extremely loud noise. It goes through the house, goes through our bedroom. We have it moved from the windows when we're watching TV in the family room. It makes the windows, the noise of it, does make the windows rattle in the house.
Wow.
So I called them up and complained about it.
And they said, tough luck?
Basically, they told me to suck up. And
be brave.
They didn't say that, really, but that was the impression I got. So I kept complaining. They finally sent someone out here, and they went out, and they were just roaring. Yeah, they're making a noise. And then I've talked to a couple people from Clipper. And this is a noise you got to expect, they say. First Wind says Clipper's wrong. Clipper says First Wind is wrong.
Mm-hmm. So, who's this other one you're talking to? Clippers? Who's that?
Clipper is the one that has the generators on top.
They're
the ones that furnish the engine.
All right, let's back up for people just joining us. I'm talking to a gentleman in Cohocton who cannot give us his name because if he says anything bad about the wind companies, he could get sued. Now, again, I want to say, right off the bat, when I heard about these wind things a couple of years ago, and I think it's no secret, I have a lot of questions about these things, but one of the first things I noticed was if you put the thing in and you don't like it, if you say you don't like it, they'll sue you. Now, right off the bat, that tells you you're not going to like it, because otherwise, why would they have that contract in there, that provision in the contract, I should say. All right, now, Mr. X, let's call you Mr. X. It's easier than Mystery Man. You're getting about $7,500 a year. At least that's what they promised you.
Right.
All right. They promised you, or they started off with a small windmill, then they kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Is that right?
Correct.
Do you think they lied to you from the beginning?
I think they had to know from the beginning that they were going to have these windmills in.
Yeah.
Because they had them Roland. They had ordered the parts, and they don't have this many windmill parts available. They had to be manufactured. So they had to know from the start what they were going to put up. And they knew when they had the one, when they changed the contract to 1.5, or greater, it said in the contract. They put that in there to cover themselves, because I have a feeling they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly that they were going to bring something in here that was going to be a commercial windmill. This is, these windmills should never be put in area like this, because the noise goes down. We're having our friends in Ingleside, which is below us, they're hearing the noise, and Ingleside's quite a ways from us. We're having all of our neighbors all up and down the road and up and down the Atlanta and North Cohocton. The noise is just unbearable for some of those people. And in the summertime, when we start opening our windows and trying to enjoy our porches and our activities outside, it's going to be horrible for the people.
All right. Now, you're getting paid for it.
Well, so far I haven't gotten a penny from it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Theoretically, you're getting paid $7,500 a year.
I worry about
it. Are you a town official, by the way?
No, no.
Well, the reason, you know why I asked that question, Mr. X? Do you know why I asked that question?
No, I don't.
All right, I'm going to tell you. And it's not a pretty picture. It's the thing that's bothered me from the very beginning. It's bothered me the most about this whole deal. When these wind companies want to go somewhere, their pattern has been, not just in New York, but throughout the entire nation, to first sell the town officials, the very people that have to give their approval. Now, I'm not afraid of a contradiction here, because that's the case. It was the case in Hartsville. I don't know about Cohocton, but it's the case in many other places. So the very people that have to say, okay, already have a financial interest. Now, I've been assured by the officials in Hornellsville they don't have a financial interest in these things. And these are people I've known for many, many years, and I believe them. But, nevertheless, you're not happy, and you're getting money. And you say people up and down the road there in Cohocton are not happy, can't do a bloody thing about it. Are some of those people also getting paid, and do they regret it?
No, no, that's the sad thing. I would have never signed this contract. I would have never gone for this if I had ever realized that my neighbors and my friends were going to have problems, and they're going to hear this noise. Because, like I told you earlier, the noise level, you would never hear a thing at 900 feet. And now our neighbors and our friends, all and up and down the hills and the roads of Cohocton, are hearing this noise. And we never wanted anything like it for these people.
Well, do you know other wind farmers, other people getting paid?
Well, I know quite a few, yeah.
What are they saying? I mean, I know this is hearsay, but are they talking to you about it? Are they upset, too?
Yeah, there's a few of them upset about it.
Even though they're getting paid, they're upset.
Well, yeah, even though they're getting paid, they're not too worried about getting the money. You know, they said, you know, let them take them down because they're just making too much noise. Uh-huh. And we don't want our friends, and a couple of them have told me, they don't want their friends and their relatives or their neighbors to put up with this because it's just, you know, it's not right. There's no way that anybody would have signed a contract to do that.
Well, that's good to hear.
Now, I do give our town officials and our planning board, they set all these rules and regulations and boundaries, and they try to do everything to protect us and the citizens of Cohocton, Atlanta, and North Cohocton. They try to do everything right.
Uh-huh.
But they were misled, I think, as much as the landowners were by First Wind.
Now, some of the towns have put stipulations in that if the property values go down on people who are not getting paid, and I presume people that are getting paid, that they will be reimbursed by the town. They'll take some of the money that they're getting from the wind company. I don't think that was the case in Cohocton, was it?
I don't think it was.
No.
As far as I know, it was.
It was.
Not.
It's what they call the tough luck cause.
Yeah.
You got it, tough luck. You don't like it. You know, I got to believe that a lot of the people who've got those windmills up and are getting paid are not the most popular folks down at the cookie store. What do you think?
Well, no, I would disagree with you because none of the people that none of us that have these windmill farms, and there's quite a few of them, are windmills. We don't.
You got a lot of them over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I've talked to several of the people that have them, and nobody is looking at the farmer and say, or the landowner and say, you really put us in predicament, because they know good and well that we don't like it either. We're all upset about it.
If you could get rid of it, Mr. X, would you?
Oh, I would in a heartbeat.
Do you know others that feel the same way?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few of them would feel it. And I think a lot of the residents, you know, when you go up and down 371 in Cohocton, you can hear them all over the area. And you stop in Atlanta, you stop in North Cohocton, you go down to Ingleside. We've got, I know, probably a dozen people that at night it's just terrible. They can't sleep.
Wow.
They're having trouble sleeping.
Now, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question, Mr. X. I'm not saying that it's your fault for not hearing this, but we had all this information on our program when they first started coming around. We talked to people in other parts of the state, and they said exactly what you're saying, that they felt they were misled, that the noise is terrible. In some cases, the shadows are terrible. We talked to a gal, in, I believe, in Canada, maybe it was just the North Country of New York. The shadows were causing her child to have epileptic fits. All these things were said. Why weren't you listening, or did you just believe the wind company?
Well, we went and checked on some of this stuff ourselves, especially for the noise and the flickering. And we checked on some people, and they said, you know, well, it only lasts about 5 or 10 minutes, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't bother us. We aren't having any problems. Now, after we signed the contract, I heard more and more of this. But then, of course, they've got you hooked. You can't back out of it.
Now, let me point out, I'm not trying to dominate this, but these things we covered a couple of years ago, and I'm not blaming you for not hearing it.
Well, be truthful with you, I can't pick up Hornell too good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, tell us about that. I find that interesting. You said you have trouble picking us up since the windmills went up, too.
Well, I don't know whether since the windmills went up or not, but we originally moved in from Rochester. Uh-huh. So, we didn't know too much about the radio stations, and we...
Well, no, wait a minute. I don't mean on the station. I should have been clear on that. I mean at these public hearings, those things were brought up, weren't they? Didn't people say, look
at... They brought up, but, you know, it was... We felt mostly hearsay, and I didn't go to all of those because I had to stay out of it for personal reasons.
Have you talked to people out there in Cohocton and said, we'd like to get rid of these despite the money, and let's do it? Can you do it?
I don't know. I'm hoping we can, but I don't know for sure. I would just, you know, the sad thing is that our town and the people committed themselves. And there's a lot of people in favor of these windmills.
Oh, I know there are. Yeah.
Yeah. In Cohocton, because we had hearings and we felt, well, you know, we can't all be wrong. We can't be, you know, the windmill can't be lying that much. Well, now you see all the bankruptcies with the banks and these companies, and you wonder, the companies aren't after anything except making huge profits.
And they're getting the profit, by the way, from you and others through tax write-offs. That's how they're getting it.
They're getting it as a tax write-off.
And tax incentives. A lot of this money that went through on the stimulus package is going to go to those people.
Well, and that's the sad part, you know.
Yeah. Well, Mr. X, our time is gone.
Oh, it has.
But I certainly hope that Hartsville, Hornellsville, town of Canisteo, all you folks that are getting sweet-talked by the wind companies would take the trouble to talk to the people we've talked to. I was amazed. You know, at first I thought, well, I wouldn't want one in my backyard. They're ugly, I think, personally. I don't want one around, but, you know, maybe they're okay. But the more I talked to people in other parts of the state, the more I became aware that there was a little flim-flam going on here. I'm terribly sorry you have that problem. Oh, wait a minute. I want to go one more question. You talk about the noise. You got to go from one room to the other. You can't get away. What about the flickering?
Well, the flickering I don't have any problem with because it doesn't bother me. The only problem we have is I don't like the red lights because I call it the red light district of Cohocton now because we see all those red lights, and they told us we wouldn't have that on those.
Yeah, but you do.
They lied about that, too. Yeah. But the only thing is, like your other towns you were talking about, if they put them on top of the hills, the sound is not going to stay on top of those hills.
No.
We were told that it would never be heard, but the sound does drop down into the valleys, and there's where the people are having trouble.
Well, everyone would agree that sound's not a good thing. What about the aesthetics? Now, personally, I love the countryside, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think the countryside in Cohocton is all that attractive anymore.
What?
Because of those.
That doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother a lot of people.
All right, okay.
You can see them and say, well, as long as we're producing green energy or something like that, mm-hmm. which I question how much we're producing now. But it really, you kind of get used to that. And to some point, they are pretty. But I never realized that 50 windmills would look so drastic on top of this hill. Yeah.
Mr. X, thanks so much for talking with us.
Okay,
all
you're
the
welcome.
Best. I hope you can get out of it. I don't think you can, but I hope you can.
Well, we'll try. You know, at least New York State's going to try to help us out of them.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, that's a gentleman in Cohocton who signed up. Never thought he was going to have these problems. I never got to a big question, by the way, and that is what happened to property values, because you know what happened to them. For example, I happen to know a lady in Chicago who was going to relocate in Howard. Then when she found out the windmills were going in, she said, forget that. She looked upon it as a retirement area. There's a lot to this, and I hope the towns that have not committed themselves will think very, very carefully and very long about what they're doing to their town. And also, one final mention of this, which I've said a couple times. You go to a store, you buy a refrigerator, and the guy says to you, now look, you got to sign this contract. You may never publicly complain about this refrigerator. That is a warning sign right off the... Would you sign that? I wouldn't sign that. But you have to sign that with the windmill companies. That's why I called him Mr. X.